this morning I want to share with you on this whole theme of God with us. I want you to hear a song that part of which is the theme song from a television show on Friday nights called Joan of Arcadia. It fascinated me, and I started looking for the CD. Well, actually, I asked the man where the records were, so that tells you how old I am. He says, you mean you want LPs? No, I want CDs. But, that's where my brain still is. And I looked in Raleigh, but all I had was the phrase, and I turned to my faithful sidekick, Calvin Rome, and luckily he was sitting at his computer, and I said, can you look up on the internet and get me who sang this song and where I can get it? I'm in Raleigh, I'm going to look for it. And so he did, and I looked for it in two places in Raleigh, three places here, couldn't find it, and he brought it in this morning. He's a good friend to have. He really is. And Barry is going to play this for you. It's a little unusual, but I want us to think about the theme. Emmanuel, God with us. What if God were one of us? That's the Jesus story. God became one of us. I don't know, maybe I enjoy the TV show. You know, I am into movies. But it's fascinating to me, there's a TV show on TV where a girl talks with God. Last season ended with her going into a psychiatric hospital, because if you talk with God, you must be crazy. And she came out of the psych hospital, and I must have missed the episode where she made the decision to talk to God again. You know, she was going to give him up because she was crazy. They convinced her she was crazy. It didn't happen. But I love that little lead line. What if God were one of us? That's the Christian message. That we've got the kind of God that was willing to be one of us. The ancient Christians told us that Jesus was very God of very God, and yet he was man. And in our song, he says, if you could see his face, well, the world has seen God's face in the person of Jesus Christ. We're celebrating at this season the journey of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, as the Gospel of John tells us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father. It's a journey that starts out in heaven, and God turning to his Son and say, I know a lot of stinking lousy things happen on that planet Earth, in Iraq and Kosovo and other places where people have experienced ugliness, in Vietnam and World War II, and some ugly places right here in our community. Son, I'm going to send you to that ugly world because they need to see me. They need to know I'm their Heavenly Father. I love them. And they're not going to know that unless you go down there. And I'm going to make you go through everything they go through. So you're going to have to go through being conceived and being in a woman's womb for 9 months. You're going to be born as a little helpless baby, dependent on these people that I will entrust you to. They're faithful people, but they're not perfect people. You're going to have to deal with stuff just like people do. Because you see, God is one of us. He's like one of us. He made that decision. And his Son agreed to come on that journey. And we celebrate the beginning of that journey. Advent is sort of the conception. Christmas, the birth. And the Epiphany, the world recognizing as the three wise men come with their gifts. And then we go through the cycle of Lent, because we realize his life stretches out with meaning. And it amazes me that a rock singer would sing such a song. A blessing, a surprise. What if God were one of us, just a stranger on a bus trying to make his way home? You see, he came from heaven, he came to earth because his dad asked him to. He had to put up with everything we have to put up with. And he did it because his father asked him to do it, to prove to us that father is our father. All that journey that started with conception and birth and growing up as a boy and a young man. Don't want to skip teenager, not with our teenagers here. We don't have a lot about his teen life. But he went through all of those stages and into manhood, and then he was judged by the people of this earth and crucified in an ugly, cruel way as a criminal. And all the time, he was working his way back home. She calls him a holy rolling stone. You see, he's our cornerstone. He's the living stone. He's our hope. And that should give new meaning to Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the prophecy came to Ahaz. He was a king in the Old Testament. Jerusalem was in trouble once again, as they were many times. And they were really scared because the Syrians and some others had linked up with Ephraim, a tribe of Israel, and their own friends were going to attack them. And when they heard the news of that, the scripture says they were quivering like the leaves on a tree. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life I quivered like that. I was that scared. I was that nervous. I thought it was an interesting image. And Ahaz was asked to ask for a sign. And they said, "And a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Now, that was kind of a double prophecy because a woman in that time actually conceived and bore a son, and that gave hope to Ahaz. But Christians looked back on that promise and said, hey, God fulfilled that prophecy twice. He fulfilled it once for Ahaz, and he filled it again when Jesus came. You see, the early Christians wanted us to realize God's with us in places like Germany and the South Pacific, and in World War II, in Korea, in Vietnam, in Kosovo, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and on your street where you live, and in the place where you work, because this is a God who loves us, and he's going to be with us. Does that mean the pain and the suffering and the hardship's going to go away? No, but you don't have to suffer alone. If everybody you know deserts you, God's with you. He will be at your side. That holy rolling stone, heading back to heaven. But we saw the face of God. And if we open up our scriptures, we can see the face of God again. We can be reminded that God is with us, Emmanuel. Because we have a Father that loves us so much. I'm thankful for Joan Osborne's gift. Whatever inspired her to put that in that 1995 album, I'm so glad she did. It ministers to me when I hear the little blip on the TV show. What if God were one of us? And see, she has a question. She's wondering if God could possibly be that. What we have is the assurance that God is that. God was willing to be one of us. That proves his great love. So you see, if God is going to be with some of the hurting people of this world, he may use you or you or you or you or one of you. So God has a face. So God has a hand. So God has arms to embrace someone. Let's not let anyone we meet this season think that God doesn't have a face or hands or arms to hold them. Because we know God's with us. We'll be that face. We'll be those hands. We will be those arms that embrace maybe even the unlovable. So God is with them. Let us pray. Oh Lord, if we're really going to be your face in the world today, your arms and legs and arms and feet to carry us where we need to go, if we're willing to leave the comfort of the church and go out into the world and be there for others as Jesus was for us, as he put a face on you for us, we need you to be with us. Maybe we need you to be with us in a more powerful way than we've ever experienced you before. So be it. Let it happen now, Father. May your Spirit move among the people of this congregation that they are assured that you are personally with them and that one day, we'll be riding the bus with Jesus, working our way back home to heaven. We ask your blessings upon us as we continue our journeys. Be with us.